From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something that you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome to this Monday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Parham, Neil McCready, Clark Ford Studio this afternoon, just after 1 p.m. as we hit the record button. We'll discuss Lane Kiffin's Monday media availability. We'll look at lines for the week, Ole Miss and Arkansas, ESPN2, 230 for that one. We also found out that the Tigers, the Auburn Tigers and the Rebels will kick off at 11 a.m. in a couple weeks. We'll get into that. Neil was looking forward to that. He was excited about that one, I'm sure, even though we haven't discussed it yet. So applause. We'll get into that and more today. We'll look at some, again, lines for the week, the schedule for the week. You'll get Neil's picks on Thursday and more on a podcast brought to you every single day by the Oxford Exxon Highway 6 West in Oxford. You can use the SpeedPass Plus app. You can pay right there at the pump with that one. You also can get the lunch specials, $5.69 every single day, two sides of bread, 32-ounce drink. And hopefully you guys picked up your Lane Kiffin bobblehead on Saturday. You just had to go in and get something from the barbecue hot case. First 100 people got a Lane Kiffin bobblehead, so maybe you were amongst that as we were getting started. You're switching to Wi-Fi networks.
Yeah, this computer, for whatever reason,
likes the other one.
It will go switch. I know it's switched though. It's gonna be fine.
We'll be back in a second.
Yep, it's
there. We go.
It doesn't like the other one much either.
Oh, really?
Mm-mm. I mean, since they went digging out there.
Been a little bit of a mess.
It's been a minute since it's been good.
All right. Well, again, we are in the Clark Ford studio with hopefully working Wi-Fi for the next hour or so.
That is the plan. And I'm in the Clark Ford studio. 662-257-1900 is the number. Call it. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what Ford product you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes and business hours right to the bottom line. No hassle, no haggle. You get your quote and the rest is up to you. You can shop that quote around or you can do what I've done, what I recommend that you do, and that is get into a Clark Ford today. You'll love the product. You'll love the service. You'll love everything about Corey and the people at Clark Ford. They want to be your car guy. They want to be your truck guy. They'll prove that to you when you make the call. 662-257-1900. Guests will join us throughout the week on the Rafters Music and Food Hotline. I've been reaching out to some people already today, getting ready for the week, getting ready for the weekend. So they'll join us on the Rafters Music and Food Hotline. Rafters Music and Food on the Square is open. Monday night football tonight. There's Tuesday night football tomorrow night. Baseball playoffs are going today. Rays and Astros game 2 is this afternoon. Braves-Dodgers game 1 is this evening. The NBA season is over, but the Bachelorette begins tomorrow night. Who didn't care about the NBA was cheering for the Lakers for that reason. So there's a lot going on. And then another weekend of football, Ole Miss at Arkansas, that game at 2:30. So you can watch it at Rafters Music and Food as well.
Who is the Bachelorette?
Is
it someone from a previous show?
I think there's like two that, because there's one that they started before the thing happened, the pandemic. And
then really?
Something happened with her where I think she just went ahead and pulled the trigger on.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so.
So it's going to be a season unlike any we've seen before?
It's going to be the most dramatic.
As Chris would say.
The most dramatic season of The Bachelorette ever.
Maybe literally this time. We got like all sorts of stuff going on.
Possible.
Okay. Hall of Fame second baseman Joe Morgan died today at 77 years old, obviously known from the Big Red Machine. So. That looks like Dak's ankle surgery was successful last night. Pretty tough scene there, Cowboys and Giants. Just kind of looking at news of the day as we're getting started. Football 7:15 tonight. Chargers and Saints. The Chargers 1-3 with Neil's guy Justin Herbert. Saints at 2-2, trying to keep pace with the Panthers and the Buccaneers, who are both 3-2 in the NFC South. And then 7:08 first pitch. Braves and Dodgers tonight. Where are they at, Arlington? I don't even know. Where's the game?
Somebody's in Arlington. Someone's in Houston, right?
Are they both in Texas somewhere?
I don't know.
Not that it matters. Just curious. Globe Life Field. That's Arlington, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. All right.
So the Astros are playing in Houston? Where'd they play last night?
I don't know. Where are they?
I don't know. Yeah. I didn't watch. I got so busy yesterday. I got up early. We were up late Saturday night, and then I got up early yesterday and got 10 thoughts done. And we had a miscommunication on G-Pits that threw me off. And then I went over to my parents for dinner, and I didn't see anything yesterday.
So there are fans tonight for Dodgers and Braves?
Is that right?
Yeah, I'm reading from Jeff Passan here. It says, let's see, every day last week, about 20 Texas Rangers employees fanned out to different parts of the glistening new ballpark, Globe Life, armed with what they hope to be vital in preparing with potential spread of the coronavirus, blah, blah, blah. I'm trying to figure it out. Let's see.
The American League is in San Diego, by the way.
The Rangers team with Major League Baseball on a protocol rely on three tenets: mask wearing, hand washing, social distancing as a precaution against those who might be tempted to run afoul of an assigned seat rule. Rangers employees folded up more than 30,000 seat bottoms using five long. How many people can be at the stadium? Okay, here we go. As many as 11,500 tonight.
For
Dodgers and Braves. Sorry. That's what I was looking for.
Well, it makes sense. I mean, they're letting fans in the Cowboys game right down the street. So, yeah. I mean,
yeah.
Unless the virus can differentiate between types of balls.
Yeah, Passan is one hell of an insider, but he did not write that story very well. It took a minute for me to find actually what the number was.
I'm sure he's deeply offended that they're going to have fans there.
Let's see. What did he write? He wrote the arm, right? What was his?
Yeah, he wrote the arm.
Was it the arm?
It was okay. Really, really
good.
Was
that what Passan did?
Yeah.
Okay, thought so. So anyway, yeah, they
But no fans in San Diego, correct? That's not allowed.
I have not heard that, no.
I mean, I can't imagine.
Well, no, because it said starting with tonight, so it had to be only the National League, not the American League.
Yeah, because the virus can tell an American League team from a National League team.
So Texas has opened up. California hasn't. Is that the reason we're in this situation?
Apparently.
Okay. I mean,
but politics aren't involved in these decisions.
Oh, let's see. Yeah, there's a bunch of K stuff. Okay, I'm done with the story. So anyway, Rays and Astros.
Speaking of COVID, I will go ahead and tell you this. I'm going to be really careful about how I do it.
Okay.
There are some strong rumblings out there that we are going to have our first SEC postponement this week.
Really?
Of a game. So it's not Ole Miss, Arkansas, so everybody can quit asking me that. It's not Alabama, Georgia. It's Vanderbilt, Missouri is the game. So before you do all the guessing.
Because Missouri is so inundated with it?
Apparently Vanderbilt as a team is fairly inundated with it.
Haven't they been dealing with it for months?
They've been dealing with it for a while, yeah. Apparently Vanderbilt did not have a COVID party. I've gone this far. I might as well just continue with my unpopular takes on it. I mean, I don't think anybody intentionally spread it throughout a roster. But I don't think some of the teams probably listened to some people and said, we're not at
risk. There were definitely some more vigilant than others in whatever direction you would like to take that answer.
And they let it roll.
Yeah.
And they have immunity now.
There's a little stat here. We're kind of all over the place today, but it's okay. It's Monday. Bud Elliott, I think it's with 24/7 now. As point out, over the weekend, everybody's talking about that stat where Ole Miss only kept Alabama from 41 yards all night, meaning that if you every drive you started, had you scored a touchdown, whatever that max number is of yards you could have given up, Ole Miss was 41 from that. Alabama punted from the 41s, and then they had a fumble at the one-yard line, so 41 yards. The reverse of that, also saying in Mississippi, as Bud Elliott points out, Mississippi State, with their wonderful offense and the air raid against Kentucky on Saturday, left 814 possible yards out there. So
Kentucky did.
No, State did.
State did.
State left 814 on the field. So
yeah.
Yeah. Because State got beat by 20-whatever points 20, by a team that had fewer than 200 yards of total offense. Kentucky was like 164 or something.
24-2. Kentucky cannot throw the football.
Well, they almost had four. They had one safety that was overturned.
That's true.
So it was almost 24-4.
Never seen a college football game end with a four. I've seen two. Like Auburn beat Mississippi State three to two.
Yeah.
I've seen two, but I've never seen four. I'm sure it's happened. I mean, my God, they've played a gazillion games, but I don't recall a game ending in four. Like I said, I'm sure it's happened and it's But it's never happened in a game I've covered, I don't think.
Yeah, I'm trying to... I'm sure we could look that up. I don't know how, but I'm sure it's doable. Yeah, I can do it. Looking for it in football real quick. Let's see. That was a bad pod. Just give me 1 second.
All right. Working on lining up an Arkansas guest for our pregame show. We're multitasking right now. There's a lot going on. But they could make up that game, by the way. I mean, there are – that's what the schedule was built for. That's why they didn't want to change games because of weather last week. They knew this COVID thing was always looming.
On Pro Football Reference, you can type in any score, and it'll tell you how many of those scores there have been in NFL history. And I'm just typing in a bunch of winning scores against four as the losing score.
Mm-hmm.
And I did get one 10-4 game that happened in 1923 between the Racine Legion and the Chicago Cardinals.
So it's been that long.
Well, a 10-4 score. Again, yeah. I'm having to go through the winning score. You can't just
submit something to four.
Yeah, I have to actually pick the other game.
I wonder
as well.
If anybody's ever won a game with 4 points.
So let's try 4-3 or 4-0 or 4-2.
It could be 4-3 or 4-2 or 4-0. Couldn't be 4-1.
There's never been a 4-3 game in NFL history.
Okay.
There's never been a 4-2 game in NFL history. There's never been a 4-0 game in NFL history.
Isn't that weird?
So.
It's weird.
Yeah. There's that for the day. I mean, I'm sure there's probably an easier way to look this up, but while we're on air, that's really all I can do. So, nonetheless. Lane Kiffin spoke to the media today. He was not asked about Otis Reese. He was not asked about COVID. So, our weekly questions have changed a little bit now that they've played
We're doing better.
Weeks.
We're doing better.
It's fine today. There was nothing.
I don't think there's anything to tell us about Otis Reese. So unless you're just waiting for him to go on another diatribe about the NCAA, it's really pointless.
I mean, we'll always take those diatribes. It's fine.
Yeah, I get them. But
he had responded on Twitter yesterday about the sign stealing thing. Signal stealing in football, sign stealing in baseball.
Well, they responded a number of times.
He's
their lack of they have no F's to give, and it shows in some of their Twitter stuff, and it's really funny. Thoroughly enjoy
Ole Miss, like Kiffin?
That staff, whoever's running the football account.
Well, you take the personality of your head coach in any direction.
Yes.
I mean, that's kind of what happens. And Lane has a specific online personality, and that's pretty much.
Yeah, and his response to stuff like that is he basically doesn't give a, and it shows, and it's funny. It's really funny. I mean, number one, and I said this in 10 Thoughts yesterday. That's up at Rivals.com, by the way, as are Quick Hits. A pretty comprehensive recruiting story about the virtual visits that they had on Saturday, including some comments from Kiffin about that. So there's a lot there. But in 10 Thoughts, I was surprised Nick Saban went there Saturday night. Saban was angry. There's all sorts of talk in Alabama that Pete Golding is going to get fired midseason. The SEC shorts people,
I haven't seen this.
They had some fun with Alabama's defense.
Okay.
Saban's upset. But in that moment, he knew Lane Kiffin just out-schemed him. Period. Ole Miss went fast. Kiffin knows that Saban hates fast. It's his kryptonite. Nick Saban's won national championships. He's had a run of success that I don't know that anyone will ever replicate. But if he has one foil, it's speed, pace. He hates it. And Ole Miss was going fast the other day. And so for him to say, well, they were stealing our stuff, the first thing I thought of when I heard that was, well, that's illogical. But now we live in an illogical world right now. But that's illogical. If Ole Miss were stealing their stuff, they wouldn't be trying to go fast. They'd want to go slower.
Let them set up, then we'll see it, and then we'll react to whatever would be going on.
Yeah, because you'd want to look over there, see what they're signaling.
Get it transferred to you.
Yeah, process it, and then you'd, okay, oh, they're running that, so let's run this. Hey, Matt, and do all your signals, and then he's got to put, you'd be going slower. Ole Miss was going so fast that even if Alabama had been holding up the sign saying 43 blitz, cover two, blah, 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 even if they were pointing it out with the sign that says, hey, Lane, sign here, they wouldn't have been able to go that fast. There is a degree of communication that has to happen. It's why I always thought the Tyler Siski thing was such bullshit. When everybody got all worked up about that, it just didn't impact the game.
Yeah, so he gets on Twitter yesterday afternoon, and he says, quote, this is Kiffin, he's quote tweeting a story that has talked about it earlier in the day. And he says, FYI, when you go as fast as we do, we call our play first. Stealing signals wouldn't help us at all because we're snapping the ball. That's when they're still trying to just line up. Hashtag facts, hashtag come to the SIP, at Alabama football, go win the natty. Ole Miss football, tag Ole Miss football.
Yeah, yeah.
Today was more of that, even more, a little more irritated today that it has held for 24 hours. And, yeah, he basically said that it was illogical. He said it made no sense. He said that he even went as far as saying he had no idea what the signals were when he was in Tuscaloosa. Which, I mean, there's no reason for Lane Kiffin to know the defensive signals at Alabama.
I doubt he was spending time studying Alabama's defensive signals.
It's one of those deals.
It's ludicrous is what it is.
Well, and like the kid even okay, like Dylan Moses, but like Saban?
Right,
yeah,
right.
Like whatever.
I don't care what Dylan Moses said. I mean, that's his theory, and he can – everybody's got theories these days, and if he wants to float his, he's entitled to. But for Saban to go there, it just struck me as – it shows you how much Ole Miss scared the hell out of Alabama Saturday night.
He does say people have stolen his signals before. He said for teams that go slower, maybe there is some of that.
It's allowed.
Yeah. And then he ended with, it just doesn't make any sense. That was the way.
Right, and it doesn't.
He closed it.
So. Again, the great thing about Kiffin, one of the great things about Kiffin, is that in these deals, you get answers. He tells you the end. He does not coach speak. He's got real momentum right now, and he knows it. He senses it. He talks about it in recruiting and the story that's up at the site. And, look, this isn't to pick on Ben Brown on a snap. You won't find a player who plays harder than Ben Brown.
Sure. Ben Brown was physically upset at himself.
But that second botched snap.
Yeah, that's where I was going next.
Cost Ole Miss a touchdown. And I've seen it, by the way. I had seen that before the play. Yeboah was going to score, assuming that Corral makes a
anywhere near in the
quasi-decent throw, and Matt's having a little bit better than a quasi-decent season to this point. So the odds are the throw would have been made. That game was going to be 49-49.
Kicking it back off.
With about 8-7, whatever it was, to go.
Yeah, Kiffin pointed that out specifically. He said the two botched snaps really hurt, but especially, as Neil said, the second one, he said Yeboah was out in the flats. And that he knew before the play that it would have been a touchdown had they simply said the linebacker was looking the wrong direction, and it would have been a score. So, yeah, I mean they had two or three drives stopped by their own issues on Saturday night, and even with a defense that is frankly on pace to be one of the worst in FBS history, this is where they are. I mean it's there's not a win, there's not a game they can't win, but there's hardly any games they can't lose either, and this is going to be one fiery season as they finish it off, because I just don't know.
Well, and you see that a little bit in the betting line for Saturday. I mean, not to get ahead of ourselves, but Ole Miss is just a 3-point favorite at Arkansas, which tells you that the bookies are like, God, I think Ole Miss is going to score a lot, but
the defense is terrible.
Kind of hard to predict that they're going to stop Arkansas. Like I said the other day, when it's going to be a blowout, and I said, look, Felipe Franks threw for 4 touchdowns against Auburn. If I offer you, you can have Auburn's defense or you can have Ole Miss's defense. Are you even contemplating it?
Yeah, Arkansas scored 28 points. Now, Arkansas always scores 28. They're losing on Saturday.
Well, yeah, but my point is if you can get 4 touchdown passes against Auburn, it stands to reason that you're going to have some success against Ole Miss.
For Arkansas to win this game, the game has to get into the 40s.
Yeah. Yeah, because Arkansas's got to get into the 40s.
Yeah.
Now, I do think this will be the best defensive plan that Ole Miss has seen to date, but it won't be the best defensive players.
They'll be the worst
that
they've seen to date.
Yeah, yeah.
Kentucky, Florida, and Alabama.
Absolutely. It'll be the best plan.
Athletically, Arkansas does not have the athletes that those other three schools do.
No.
Because Kentucky's pretty damn good in the back 7 on defense. They're not bad.
Kentucky's pretty good on defense.
Yeah. So
I mean, they had some success against Auburn defensively, and they just shut Mississippi State down.
State plays who this weekend?
State plays Texas A&M at home.
That's right. Yeah, we'll get into lines in a second.
With a fractured locker room.
State.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to purge everybody, though. It's going to be all right.
Well.
Going to get a little purge done. It's going to fix
it. a little opposite right now. Kiffin's got a locker room that is completely bought in. Maybe some defensive players. It's not that they don't trust them. I think it's they don't trust each other. We'll get into that a little bit, too, probably. But there's no lack of effort. There doesn't appear to be a lack of chemistry, a lack of cohesion. All of those things are applicable at State. They've got problems.
And it could spiral quickly.
Yeah. Well, and they're doing the quarterback thingy now.
I mean,
I'm not a fan of quarterback thingies.
Those don't typically work out very well.
I mean, feel free to tell me about all the quarterback switches and stuff that work out.
Yeah, that's fair. Podcast brought to you in part by Community Mortgage, Oxford, Mempocetto County, and Chattanooga. Underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. They're getting local underwriting and understand your market. Leader in condo financing, the float down option, and more. You can find Jason at 662-234-2704 or JLOWE at communitymtg.com.
Rebel Rewards, the official rewards app of Rebel fans, brings all new experiences this season, including game day selfies, weekly trivia, and stadium light shows from your home. Download the free app today by searching Rebel Rewards. Rebel Rewards, be rewarded. We are also brought to you by Jupiter Security Systems, based in Madison, Mississippi. Jupiter Security Systems provides your business with a help desk, allowing you to get software at a much cheaper price than you would pay going directly to Microsoft or the different cybersecurity systems. It's basically ADT for your computer systems and data. It's very affordable, flat price, no hidden add-ons. Call Eric at 601-519-9583 or email info at jupitersecurity.net. Also brought to you by the College Corner. It's a one-stop Rebel shop, two locations in the Jackson area. In Ridgeland, the College Corner is next to Fleet Feet, and in Flowood, it's next to Half Shell. If you don't live in Jackson, it's not a problem. Visit the College Corner at collegecornerstore.com. Plus, you can find them on Facebook and Instagram. They have the largest selection of Rebel gear in Central Mississippi, and throughout the month of October, mention Rebel Grove at checkout. Get 15% off your entire purchase. You can also use it online. Just put Rebel Grove in the coupon tab at checkout. Brought to you by the Iron Horse Grill, located at 320 East Pearl Street. It's the perfect place to enjoy lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch. And we're brought to you by Dead Soxy. It's the best socks you'll ever put on your feet. DeadSoxy.com, DeadSoxy.com. They've got the no-shows. They've also got the traditional dress sock. Lots of variety, colors to choose from. Make a fashion statement with your feet and keep your feet nice and cool with Dead Soxy. And we're brought to you by Blue Delta Jeans. Whether you're one of the lucky ones to get into Vaught Hemingway this season, or if you plan to watch the games at home with a few socially distanced friends, a pair of Blue Delta jeans are just what you need to look great, feel comfortable on Saturdays. Their new line of four-way stretch cotton comes in 12 colors, including a great new powder blue. So drop by the Oxford studio, DM Blue Delta at Blue Delta Jeans, or email info@bluedeltajeans.com for more information. Remember, just because you can't be in the Grove this year doesn't mean you don't need to look your best for game day.
So, college lines this week, looking at it, game start on Wednesday, Coastal Carolina and Louisiana Lafayette. And that one, two really good mascots. You got the Raging Cajuns and the Chanticleers playing each other on
Two pretty good teams, too.
Yeah, Louisiana Lafayette's -7, if you're curious, if you want to get a little midweek betting action in. Arkansas State, Georgia State is Thursday. That's -3.5 with the Red Wolves there against Georgia State. Let's see. Georgia State's the Panthers. Is that right?
Sounds right.
Is that right? Okay.
Feels right.
Pretty good game on Friday night if you just want to watch some pretty entertaining football action. Actually, two pretty decent games. You got a SMU at Tulane on Friday night. It's a pretty good game there.
Oh, that's a good game.
Score some points. It's going to be kind of fun on TV, I think. SMU favored by 6.5 to 7.5, depending on the book that you would like to use. And then your nightcap on Friday night, BYU in Houston. And BYU -3.5 against the Cougars in Houston.
Okay.
Not a bad Friday night.
Not bad.
Line up there. Kentucky-Tennessee is our leadoff game at 11 a.m. on Saturday. October 17th is the month and year date. And Tennessee is a 6-point favorite over the Wildcats in Knoxville to kick off the day. What do you have, Dot? What are we at?
I've got 6.5.
Okay. So down to 6 there for it opened at 6.5, now sitting at 6. On Kentucky and Tennessee.
Yeah, it was 6.5 this morning, too. So it's moved.
This
today.
Is kind of a, do we 100% believe in Tennessee taking that next step? Because if they are, you believe them to cover this football game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, this is kind of, I know it's right after Georgia and all that stuff, but it's kind of one of those for Tennessee where, okay, go do it now. And you're in that, you're not in the Florida-Georgia tier yet, but you're in that next tier for me.
It's got a chance to be a good game.
I don't know what I'm doing yet.
No, I haven't either. I'm leaning Tennessee, but Kentucky's defense will give JG fits.
The over-under is only 47.5 on this one.
Yeah.
On a total. Yeah. Pretty low. Odd Shark, their analytics are predicting a 30-28 Kentucky win in this game. So, yeah. Clemson giving 27 to Georgia Tech. Going to be a rough day for the Ramblin' Wreck.
Clemson's the best team in the country right now.
They're very complete. They're very good.
Very good.
They are susceptible on defense. That is their – which, frankly, it is college football's flaw. Lane Kiffin talked about it today, too. Defenses are just getting eaten up right now. Hardly anybody's playing very good defense. Spring, tackling, the rules.
The rules favor offense.
It's a lot of stuff, but the offenses are dominating football games right now. There are very few defenses in the country that are actually playing pretty well. Let's see. What do we got? Miami -9.5 against Pitt. If you just want some football. Liberty gets a chance to go to 5-0. They got votes in McCready's top 25. Here this week. They are at Syracuse, and they this line has moved like crazy. I don't know. I guess somebody's hurt or somebody's out. Liberty open is a 9-point underdog, and now they are a 3-point favorite.
Line moved 12 points?
I don't know if I'm getting one of those early lines from back in the summer, but that would be weird for Liberty. I wouldn't think you'd get a lot of early summer lines on that. But, yeah, otherwise, it's moved that much. I'm getting Liberty as a 3-point favorite right now.
Okay.
On this. Let me just see what Odd Shark says. Scored, just I'm curious. They're predicting Liberty to win 36-23 over the Orange. All right, moving on. Auburn and South Carolina. That's another 11 a.m. start on Saturday. Auburn on the road in Columbia, and Auburn is a 3-point favorite in this one.
Yeah, that's what I've got is 3. I tell you now, this is an interesting game. This is a really good football game. We'll have this on during our pregame. Auburn is
Oh, you're good.
Auburn is really vulnerable right now. And Carolina's okay.
They're okay.
And this is an opportunity for them to get a little more than okay.
Colin Hill is decent. He's not going to lose a ton of games for you. They're fine. They're okay defensively. They're not good. I mean, South Carolina is as nondescript of a football team in the SEC as you can possibly get. They're fine all the way around. Now, that still is lower half of the conference. They're not good. They're not going to go out and dominate you in any way unless you're Vanderbilt. But they can compete in this game. I don't think I'm going to pick them to win. I think that line's a little smaller than I would have needed it to from a point standpoint. I think I would have needed Auburn given 6 or 7 to start thinking about the Gamecocks here. But it's interesting. I don't know.
Oh, it's that. It's that.
27-17 Tigers is what Odd Shark is saying.
I mean, I'm leaning Auburn.
49 on your total in this game.
Yeah. Just, you know, the problem is Carolina just got through thumping Vanderbilt. And so you see the score, but you got to, in the back of your mind, go, they are historically bad.
LSU beat Vanderbilt 41-7.
Yeah.
Who did LSU play week one? I mean, sorry, who did Vanderbilt play week one?
Texas A&M played them well, and that was the
17-12. Yeah, you want Vanderbilt as late in the season as you can get Vanderbilt, unless you're getting Missouri, unless they play with like half the team out or something this week. So, Louisville and Notre Dame -17 against the Cardinals this weekend in South Bend.
Notre Dame's not winning a title, good, but they're good.
Yeah, they're good.
He's a really good coach.
They at least will make you interested when they play Clemson at some point. Florida and LSU, that is in Gainesville. That is the 2:30 game one of the 2:30 games this week, and Florida is. Oh, this line has moved like crazy, too, unless I'm missing this. What do we have this at?
LSU +13.5.
You know this thing opened at 1, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, now 13.5. So
I've watched both teams a lot, and Florida is significantly better than LSU. I don't know that LSU can stop Florida. It is almost to the extreme of Alabama Ole Miss, where I don't know that LSU can get off the field against Florida.
Florida's defense isn't good.
No, it's below average.
Yeah. I don't know there. That's a lot of points.
And I am fascinated to see the attendance at this game.
With it opened up?
It's opened up, although the university hasn't opened it up. Dan Mullen wants it opened up. It's still in the fairly conservative part of Florida.
Mm-hmm.
But
There will be a lot of people that don't feel safe to go.
Yeah.
Florida, there's no doubt about that.
Florida was having a hard time moving their tickets as is. To suddenly think that they're going to move more, I don't know. Texas is a lot more conservative than Florida. And look, here's the deal. And this is not being a political comment. This is just matter of fact. The more conservative you are, the less you are concerned with COVID. The more you are free will than the people. The more liberal you are, the more you want government mandate over the virus related type things. That's just reality. And so you can put 40,000 or whatever in Texas. I don't know that you can get that at Florida. I really don't.
Oh, because right now, I don't know. If it was completely open, I don't know that you could get 45 in Oxford right now.
Probably not.
I think that's the number
Oxford,
I'd be curious on.
Oxford's pretty liberal. It just is. And that's not a political knock. It's an ideology statement. Oxford's got a lot of scared to it. It's one of the big reasons that Oxford didn't open up was because there was a ton of messaging that went on begging them not to open
it up. Have we seen any stadium full in the country yet? Anywhere?
Some high school stadiums.
Of large numbers, though?
Yeah.
Like in Allen and places?
I've seen some pictures from Georgia that was just packed.
Really?
Okay. Packed. Looked like a Friday night from years
gone
by.
So they've opened up their high schools all the way?
Apparently.
But nothing else?
I guess. Either that or local jurisdictions just said to hell with it. We're not enforcing this.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I've just got a weird feeling that there's a psyche thing in America where they're not quite ready to fill up anywhere yet. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but that is just the way. I think it's even affecting some of this 25-50% stuff. Because, I mean, Ole Miss had a hard time selling 16,000 tickets.
Yeah.
And the excitement around the program says they easily should have sold 16,000 tickets. And I get the prices are jacked up, and I get all that. But still.
This last week, it was prices. It was the weather.
Yeah.
I'll be curious to see what they can do for Auburn. 11 a.m. Let's say Ole Miss goes and beats Arkansas Saturday. 11 a.m. Weather's probably would be nice at that point. Mm-hmm. But there's no Grove. And Ole Miss has marketed the hell out of the Grove to the point over the years that for a lot of fans, that's a big part of the game experience. So when you take that away, and I'm not criticizing. I'm just saying facts. People always think I'm making fun of it. I'm not. But when that's not part of it anymore.
Oh, that has an impact on attendance. There's 100%. Well, I mean, just tailgating in general. I mean, even the people that go ahead of the circle or wherever. I mean, yeah just tailgating here and all the way around.
I'll be curious if we ever get back to normal, and I'm no longer just taking it for granted based on things I hear from people. My brother lives in Dallas. Houston. He's convinced Texas is going to lock back down again. I can't imagine that it will, but he's just convinced of it. I am curious to see, like, let's say next September things are back to, quote, normal.
Sure.
Does Lane Kiffin walk his team through the Grove on a 92-degree day? I got my doubts.
I would guess yes, but I would feel uncomfortable about putting too much money on it.
Yeah.
My guess would be yes. Okay. But
I just kind of wonder, not asked anyone that because, quite frankly, I don't know that right now.
Nobody has an answer. It doesn't matter.
I don't know that next season's going to be any different than this one.
Financially, that.
It's just the fear, the prevalent fear. All these schools are getting ready to lock down. Except I saw where Auburn said they're going to be basically in person exclusively in the spring, to which I say, War Eagle.
Well, Ole Miss has not put any online classes on their schedule for the spring.
Have they not?
No, like they're almost – I don't know about almost all. That might be a little too strong. But, no, the vast majority are in person just like they would look like two semesters ago from a registering standpoint. Like with students picking classes for the spring, almost everything's in person as of now. Could that change? I know nothing about the way they're doing policy.
I'll tell you this.
As of now, it's in person.
This isn't about Ole Miss. It's about any school. Any school that does registration as if it's going to be in person and then switches to online in sometime in November, that is disingenuous as you can possibly get. You deserve every bad thing that comes your way when you do it.
Yeah. No idea about anything other than as of right now, everything looks – or most things look, appear to be in person. That is true.
Good.
Ole Miss at Arkansas, 2:30, as we mentioned. And like Neil said, it opened at 4. It is now sitting at 3, according to Odd Shark. So,
what's Odd Shark project?
I'm pulling it up now. Odd Shark is projecting an Ole Miss. Now, if this happens, we'll have a really good call-in show, and Lane will be right that the defense played a little better.
Okay.
Ole Miss projected to win 35-18 on Saturday.
Wow.
Yeah, I would like the over on Arkansas scoring 18 points, but they have Ole Miss winning 35-18. Says Mississippi will win, cover the spread, and the total will go under.
I do think Ole Miss will win. I do think they'll cover. I'm not prepared to
say.
The
over-under is 76.5.
And I like the over.
Over 76 even? Yeah.
Because I think Ole Miss can get into the upper 40s against these guys.
As of right now,
I think Arkansas can score in the upper 20s, low 30s.
With the line at -3, 58% of the money is on Ole Miss, 42% of the money on Arkansas, and then people are hammering the total even at 76.5 right now. So we'll see where it goes. Money line right now to win 100 on Ole Miss, you got to bet 143, and to bet, if you bet 100 on Arkansas, you would win 130 as of right now. So that is your over. Over-under and total there for Ole Miss and Arkansas. Let's see. What do we got?
Oh, did you know there's a meeting? What's today, the 12th?
Today's the 12th.
There's a Board of Aldermen meeting today at 2.
Today at 2?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, supposedly.
What are we doing today?
Supposedly people are upset about the weekend. They're about to crack down on the restaurants again.
Really?
Yep.
I heard that today.
Yep.
Let's see. Lines. A&M, Mississippi State. This line's about where I thought it would be. Nobody's over-exaggerating too much to last weekend, at least from an A&M standpoint. A&M and Mississippi State, A&M -4 on the open. A&M now -6.5 or 7, depending on your book.
I've got it at 6.5. And I love Texas A&M here. Love them here. Coming off a big win, have some momentum, feeling good about themselves.
You like them laying the touchdown here?
I might lay 2 touchdowns. I think A&M wins this game in a blowout.
Do you really?
I do. I think they found their identity last week. That was more than just a win for them.
Odd Shark projecting a fairly close game. I just don't see it either, but we'll see. And then 54 is the total on this one. Kind of small, but they don't think State can score points. So
they have A&M winning a close one?
They have A&M winning a close game. Yes, that is correct. And on down, North Carolina suddenly surging. The Tar Heels having quite the season. They are a 13-point favorite against Florida State in Tallahassee on Saturday night. Sure.
Yeah, whatever.
Vanderbilt, Missouri, as you said, if the game happens, 18.5 is the open, and it is now at 20. So
yeah, I had it
a little bit.
19.5, and who knows? Missouri is significantly better than Vanderbilt. Everyone is significantly better than Vanderbilt.
Missouri will be a little flat.
Yeah, maybe. New coach, young quarterback. They'll still be trying to establish stuff. I don't know if they're established enough to have a letdown.
Odd Shark, estimating a final score of 26-8, Missouri over Vanderbilt.
Vanderbilt can't score on anyone, so all you got to do is score a little bit.
Southern Miss, a 3.5-point favorite over UTEP in El Paso on Saturday night. And then,
can you imagine having to watch that?
That would be a rough one. And then Georgia, Alabama, CBS game of the week is at night this week. Alabama -7.5 on the open. It is now at 6. Bama by 6 is where we are at.
Oh, really? I've got it at 4.5.
Okay.
So it's moved a lot today. Yeah.
Alabama 37-25, according to Oddshark. That is where they have this one.
Yeah, Alabama offense is something else. Now, the Kentucky defense is too, but I don't like Georgia's offense that much.
Not at all. It's not dynamic. I mean,
I don't watch Stetson Bennett and go, that's the guy that's going to beat Alabama. Hard to see it.
Ryan talked about it on Saturday in the pregame. We've mentioned this every time the Ole Miss and Alabama's played over the years. It's not all these different things everybody talks about. You beat Alabama with quarterback play and a quarterback who can push the ball down the field. That's it. That is how you beat Alabama. And, no, there's nothing in Bennett's game that makes me believe that at all. I think Bama wins this game by 10 to 14 points, kind of where I'm.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to live up to the hype, but I could be wrong. I'm looking for something. There's rumor that Florida has made a coaching staff change.
Florida?
Yeah.
Like Grantham related?
That'd be my guess. Wouldn't be Mullen. Wouldn't be the offensive guy.
Really?
Yep. Brett McMurphy, let me make sure this is the real Brett. No, it's a fake Brett.
Oh, so no. Got fake Bretted?
Yeah, I think you got fake Bretted. Yep, you got fake Bretted. Look for the blue check mark or the followers.
The followers, at least. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like I don't have a blue check mark, but.
If you have 87 followers.
Yeah, the fake me has fewer followers than the real me.
Is the fake you still going around out there somewhere?
I'm not sure. I don't worry about it. JM points out that a week ago I thought something was wrong in College Station, and I did. But I'm not one of these people in media that will never admit to being wrong. I'll admit to being wrong a lot. I was wrong.
Yeah, I just think it's what Ryan. That's what we talked about on Saturday's pregame show. I don't think A&M is unable to win games. I just think they're going to lose some they're not supposed to. So they're still going to be this 5-5 program. That's what I think.
Could be.
We'll see.
I mean, that's
Mike Leach beats them on Saturday, I go, there you go.
Well, there you go.
I can't figure it out.
That would be the full Mike Leach experience, wouldn't it? Just, yeah.
Pinballing all over the place at this point.
That would drive me crazy.
Oh, as a fan, you're
just never knowing what you're going to get.
Yeah, at least have a plan and be plotting along on whatever your trajectory is, up, down, even like whatever. So, anyway.
Look, Jimbo's a really good coach.
He is.
Jimbo's a really good coach. I've known Jimbo since he was the quarterback's coach at Auburn back a gazillion years ago.
That was kind of a good point you made, though. I do feel like he's having to alter a little bit because the way he had always done it has felt a little outdated the last few years. Mm-hmm. Something just doesn't feel quite right there. So can he transition with it a little bit, I think is what we're seeing here.
Well, and then can you do what they did against Alabama, against Auburn, against some of those teams? This is the other day. What they said was, all right, we are putting too much on Kellen Mond. We've got this big offensive line. We've got some running backs. We're in Texas. For God's sake, let's run the football. And as they did it the other day and got confident with it and wore Florida down, they found their identity. Their body language changed. I don't know how much of that game you watched. Their body language over the course of the game, it changed. They went from killing themselves in the first half to playing a pretty solid game. Sometimes you just have to notice those things. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, Florida kind of imploded a little bit.
Oh, they definitely did.
And Dan was whiny after the game, which is what he does when he's really frustrated. He whines. He was really frustrated with his team, with their inability to answer. They had A&M on the ropes, and they wouldn't do it.
Oh, it was going to be over. They were the better team. They had it completely right there. One drive, put it away, done. And, yeah, they just kind of fell apart. They did. They imploded as a team, as a program that day for whatever reason.
I think A&M found some identity. Now, they can lose it on Saturday, and if they do, I'll go out of hell with it. Because State's pretty good on defense.
They're fine.
What has to concern you if you're Mississippi State, if you're a State fan, what has to absolutely concern the hell out of you is this. This is going to be the best defense he has. Mm-hmm.
with this the best running back he's ever had, or he will.
Yeah,
have.
That kid, he's barely there.
Yeah.
See, to me, that makes me question Leach a little bit. I know he's a hell of a coach. He's always been a great offensive mind, et cetera, et cetera. But it almost has a Joe Lee Dunn feel to it of, I'm going to do it my way, and then one of these days you're all going to figure it out, and then it won't work anymore. It's almost like the baseball manager who says, we're not going to shift. Not doing it.
Feels like Rich Rod a little bit.
It was a lot of Rich Rod last year. We're going to do it this way. This is the way we're going to do it. If you don't like it, you can leave. Well, that doesn't work in today's film world where everybody can analytically break everything down.
State's a couple weeks away from mass chaos if they don't figure it out.
I know we're about to go to a break. They're asking us to talk about this, and I would like to. Thoughts on the SEC statement on the Arkansas-Auburn call.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a minute. Because I have some thoughts about it, which are very similar to what I just said about A&M.
Okay. Yeah, we'll do it in one second. Before we do that, I'll tell you about Tyson Drugs and G&M Pharmacy. G&M, 662-236-2222. They got the immune support med packs that you're very aware of by now. We've been telling you about on 30 supplies of vitamin C, zinc, NAC, probiotic, vitamin D3, and more. They also deliver locally in the Oxford area. You can pick that up there in location. Their store's open, all that kind of stuff, obviously, but they will deliver for you and more. They also have Right Way meds that will package your prescriptions on the day. They show you exactly when to take them. They individually package them so you have what you need when you need it. Again, 662-236-2222.
We're also brought to you by Pinnacle Trust. Represents clients in more than 20 states. They've got advisors in multiple states based right there in Madison, Mississippi. They provide detailed, specialized investment management, financial planning, retirement planning for individuals and businesses, and much more. At Pinnacle Trust, investing is treated like a commodity. Decisions are made using objective information and research, not emotions. So regardless of your level of wealth, they'll sit down with you, listen to your goals, study your expenses, and put forth a comprehensive, detailed financial and retirement plan built just for you. It's pintrust.com, PINNtrust.com. Mention you heard about Pinnacle Trust on the podcast. You'll get 10% off your first year's fees. Also brought to you by John Edwards, Regency Travel Incorporated in Memphis. If you've been thinking about that golf trip with the guys, an anniversary trip, you just want to get away, you want to take advantage of some of the great deals that are out there in travel, get in touch with John. Give him some parameters. Give him a budget. He'll give you options you won't find on your own. 901-494-3387 or jedwards@regencytravel.net. First-time clients can save $50 off their first book trip just by telling John you heard about Regency Travel on the podcast. Also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, that's the place to go. They've got a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles. Great lease deals as well there at Grenada Nissan. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. And we're brought to you by OUB, Oxford University Bank, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you can want, but with the personal touch. And when you call OUB, you're going to speak directly to a live person. No 10 buttons to push, no 5 minutes to wait. Instead, you just get right to it, and you can learn more about OUB and all that it offers at liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured.
All right, so set it up. What are you going to talk about?
Well, I don't have the statement here in front of me, which I probably should
have. It's about the SEC one. I'll find it while you're talking. Go ahead.
So the SEC came out with a statement late Saturday. If you saw the Auburn-Arkansas game end, you know that they made a mistake.
Yep.
It was an easy mistake to make. If I'm honest, I would have made the same mistake that the officials made watching
it
live.
It took you and I several minutes to go,
And they didn't have several minutes.
Yeah.
What bothers me is an inability to just say, we were wrong. We missed it. We regret that we missed it. We made a mistake. We were wrong. It's kind of a societal thing right now.
It's just officiating 101, too. You know what I mean? Like, it's what happens.
You know, look at how we handle the virus. For the people who say the truth is somewhere in the middle, there is no middle. And I'm guilty of this, too. I'm admitting it. There are the people that said in March and April that, hey, this thing is really bad. It's going to wipe out 2 million people. It's really, really bad. We must lock down. We must lock down. And thank God they were wrong. And then you have the people that go, it's a hoax. It's going to be 9 to 15 people, and it's all going to be fine. This is overblown. They were wrong, too. It was more than that. It's worse than that. But no one will back off and admit that. Not Trump, not Fauci. And so you see it in media. Oh, I said this team's going to be great. So they're, by God, going to say that the whole year, even if the team's not great.
It's like it's just life. It is. Social media is a cancer to society, and it's caused a lot of this.
It has.
Not even – I haven't watched it yet. I know everybody's talking about the social dilemma. Frankly, I don't want to be in a bad mood, and I don't want to get depressed, so I haven't hit the play button yet, if you want to know the honest truth. But, no, I get the concepts of it. It's made everything short attention spans. It's made everything, by God, my opinion matters, and it is right, both.
Yep. Can't be wrong, and can't change, can't grow. I would have liked for the SEC to have said, we were wrong, we regret it. And not, well, you know, what happened was neither team jumped on the ball, and no, you blew a whistle. You blew a whistle that shouldn't have been blown. It was a mistake. You're human. Just say you screwed it up.
Yeah, I got it here. So it says here, SEC officiating statement, comment on play with 30 seconds to go in Arkansas-Auburn game. Quote, during the third down play at 30 seconds in the fourth quarter, the officials on the field sounded their whistles and blew the play dead as they deemed the passer illegally grounded the ball to conserve time as governed by Rule 732F. During the subsequent replay review, there is conclusive video evidence that the pass was backwards. However, because recovery of the football was not clearly made in the immediate continuing football action, the ruling on the field was determined to stand under Rule 1232E1. Both the determination of a backwards pass and the immediate clear recovery are required to reverse the ruling on the field under Rule 13231E.
But they didn't recover it because they blew the whistle.
Yeah.
They blew the whistle. They shouldn't have blown the whistle.
No.
And it would have been easy to blow it because I've never seen a quarterback fumble the snap, pick it up.
Well, because even the fumble didn't kill it. It was the throwing it backwards that killed it. I mean, he could have fumbled and still thrown it forward.
You can fumble the snap and then still clock the ball?
As long as I think you haven't, like, gotten into the pocket. You know what I mean? Like, if you're just standing over the center and pow, yeah.
But for it to ever be intentional grounding, you have to throw the ball forward, right?
Yeah.
Because if you throw the ball backward.
Well, it's always a fumble. It's a lateral.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a pass. It's a fumble.
Right.
Yeah.
So if a quarterback is attempting, I'm just playing this out in my head.
Yeah, sure.
If a quarterback is attempting to avoid a sack.
Yes.
And he throws the ball, he's running to his right, and he throws the ball this way, back and to his right.
Yeah.
That's not a pass. That's a fumble.
That's a fumble.
So if the ball goes out of bounds.
The ball was wherever it went out of bounds.
It went out of bounds.
Yes, correct.
The official missed the call.
Yeah. He was assuming something, and he was back to my thing, and I told you how I get so bothered by officials running with 30 seconds to go to make sure we spot as quickly as possible. They were so consumed on, hey, they got to stop the clock. Hey, whistle, pow, we got to save that time. You know what I mean? It's just
they're going to clock it right here, and then what if Auburn had run a trick play?
Yeah.
I mean, that official was ready to go,
yeah.
I can't whistle, so sorry.
Yeah, it's fine.
What if Nix had fake clocked it?
Yeah.
What if he fake clocked it and someone sprinted it out and he threw a touchdown?
It's the problem I have with it, and it's what you're saying pretty much. We don't have very differing opinions here. Is that you can just admit you screwed up. You don't have to give me all the legal ease because, frankly, once they screwed up, I thought they made the right call. The way the rules state, okay, I get it. I have no issue with that. So they followed the rules past the screw-up. But, yeah, just say, hey, damn it.
Ah. Well, yeah, it's like that was part of Pittman's complaint was they won't even admit that they messed it up. So Pittman was so livid over there is my understanding. He was so angry because they were saying, well, it wasn't a fumble. And he said it absolutely was a fumble. I've coached this game for a while. It was a fumble. And when you see a quarterback throw the ball backwards, you're not supposed to blow your whistle. I mean, I get why Arkansas is as angry as they are. I get it. I understand.
Oh, yeah. I mean, any school, good grief. I mean, it's... I think it would have happened no matter who the team was. I mean, I don't think it was anything to do with that. I don't think it was Auburn, Arkansas, or Alabama, Florida, Georgia, Ole Miss, anybody else. But I wish the officials would just do like the NFL does, a much better job of than they used to, and just pause.
Yep.
Even if you got to let a play run out and then go, okay, just back the damn thing.
You can always come back and go, hey. Yeah.
We can't put the toothpaste back in the tube, but we can
fix this.
Wait on it to come out.
Yeah. Because once you blow it, because that would have been a spot where you don't blow the whistle and you let the play out. And then if you come back on review and go, you know what? It was a forward pass. It should have been intentional grounding. But if on review, you would have looked at that and said, no, he threw it backwards. It's a fumble. It's a fumble. And if you don't blow the whistle, I think Arkansas recovers the ball. And the game's over.
Well, the game is over. But I think Arkansas recovers it. I do wonder if Seth Williams gets on the ball without the whistle.
And he might.
He's standing there, and he just kind of stops.
So, but here's the thing there, is the clock would have kept running. Auburn was out of timeouts. And Auburn, that field goal now is 10, 12 yards deeper than it would have been, and you're hustling. You don't have time to set up. You're having to run people on, run people off, get sets, snap the ball, get the – it's a different deal. But people asked us about the statement. The statement I would have liked to have seen the league make is we made a mistake. We're human. The official feels bad about it. We feel bad about it. We hate it. We apologize to Arkansas for what happened. It sucks. But it's a game played by humans. It's a game officiated by humans, and humans make mistakes. And we made one. Don't hide behind the legalese. Just go, we made a mistake. And we hate it.
Yeah, I'm looking through it. There's no word in that that does that.
No. They didn't do that. They don't ever want to just go, hey, we screwed it up. Didn't mean to. The official was anticipating the action. What do they tell you in baseball? Don't anticipate as an official.
Yeah.
Don't start guessing behind the plate. Hey, I think he's going to throw the curveball here. I need to be looking for the curveball. Nope. In your mind's eye, put a strike zone and lock in and see if the ball crosses it. And the really good ones do it and don't miss. The damnedest thing. Can't remember which playoff game it was the other day that it might. I tell you what, it was the Marlins Cubs game two when Darvish and Sixto Sanchez were pitching against one another, and they were both first five innings on. I mean, they were clipping corners. You know what I mean? And he got it right. He was just locked in. That's all you ask. You know you're going to miss some, but you can't start guessing. You can't guess, for example. When you're pitching, umpiring, you can't guess, okay, this is going to be, the catcher is set up inside. I'm going to watch this inside corner right here. And then he misses, although it happens all the time. You're supposed to stay there and keep your eyes in the same place, not pay attention to where the catcher moves and stuff.
From a deciding a game standpoint in the SEC, I can't think of a call more egregious being that it literally would have ended the game. You know what I mean? Like, okay, I can think a lot where, okay, that's a problem and it was late and they could have kicked a field goal or something. But where, no, literally that is the outcome of the game on that one play. It's over.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, even, look, I mean, whatever, we always talk about the infamous, you know, penalty and shoe game with Shea Hodge and all down the sidelines. Ole Miss still had to go score. This one, it's just over. Arkansas's on the ball if they were going to fall on it and we move on. But... I'm so desensitized to it that was frankly better than most official statements that we typically get, because most would just go, blah, 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 blah. And then,
well, this is where I get, this isn't an NBA statement, but it's something the NBA does right. All year long, they release the last 2 minutes review, and they'll tell you, hey, we missed it here. Missed it here. Got it right here. This is how we interpreted it here.
Sure.
I like that.
Yeah.
just transparency. And some, and the NBA will admit, hey, we missed a call. And with those kind of athletes on that small of a court going as fast as they do, you're going to miss some. You're not going to. You're never going to hit 100.
It's very hard. Yeah, no doubt. Podcast brought to you in part by Visit Oxford. VisitOxfordMS.com is the website. You can go there and see the events page and everything going on in town this week and all weeks, including home football weekends as well. We showed you the double-decker bus, photo ops and things on Fridays. That's where we had our interview with Emily Blunt of St. Leo. We'll be back for Ole Miss and Auburn in a couple weeks. Tunes Around Town returns November 13th. They've got a lot of different things, including maybe you delayed your stay during the pandemic when things weren't open. We'll find out maybe a little more about what's going on with that here now as the Auburn R meeting, as Neil said. But nonetheless, visit OxfordMS.com. You can see where to stay, where to eat, what to do and see, and more. Visit OxfordMS.com.
I read some of the wrong reader on Blue Delta Jeans. I do want to tell you they also have their raw denim jeans, the Genos, the duck canvas pants. Those are all available. So your next trip to Oxford, all you got to do is schedule a private fitting. They're open from 10 to 6, but if that doesn't work for you, you can schedule a private fitting by reaching out to them on social media or at info@BlueDeltaJeans.com. We're also brought to you by Bain, Moss & Bowen, PLLC, located in historic downtown Corinth. Their firm practices a wider range of law, from DUI defense to car wrecks to representing government entities. Bain, Moss & Bowen is the only firm in Mississippi made up of a sitting state legislator, a former district attorney, and a former circuit court judge. Their experience is unmatched in that regard, and you can dip into that just by calling them at 662-287-1620 or by visiting them at 618 East Waldron Street in Corinth. We're also brought to you by Meadowbrook Wealth Associates of Raymond James, a team in Jackson providing planning and investment guidance to clients across the state and surrounding areas. Financial advisors Bill Geary, Logan Phillips, Chris Carrero, and Ryan Geary are partners with a commitment to personalized service. Call them at 601-368-2215. See if they might be a good fit for your financial goals. Raymond Jones and Associates, member New York Stock Exchange, SIPC. Also brought to you by The Rogue. They host Scoreboard Business. They sponsor Scoreboard Business, I should say. There on our pregame, we'll get started with that at 12:30 on Saturday for Ole Miss and Arkansas. The Rogue is your destination for fine men's clothing. They have stylists who hand-select pieces from top designers. From work to lifestyle to nightlife, it's the perfect something for everyone. They've got it at The Rogue. They have all the best items from Peter Millar, Martin Dingman, Jack Victor, Duckhead, Halsey, True Grit, and more. It's 4450 I-55 North in Jackson or at therogue.com. And we're brought to you by Heritage Properties, home to three communities in Oxford, Vaultner Flats, Cambridge Station, and Lexington Point. All three are multifamily housing. They all offer on-site management and maintenance. They're pet-friendly, and they offer short-term leases. Lexington Point, located less than a mile from campus, has spacious 1-, 2-, and 3-bedroom apartments with free cable and internet, covered parking, and more. 662-234-4558.
Saw an email. There are pretty good many tickets available for Ole Miss and Auburn. Sorry, shouldn't say there's a lot available. There are some available in different areas here, most grandstands, and then some different things throughout the South Club areas up and down. So if you're looking for tickets, you can get those again, OleMissTix.com. Just looking at the little graphic or whatever you call it here, where you click into sections and see what is available. So 11 a.m. for that one. Be a good weekend. Hopefully the weather still holds up in a couple Saturdays from now for that. You picked what? Dodgers in 7. You picked Rays in 7 as well. Is that right?
Yeah. I've got everybody going in 7. So I kind of like
– Did you lose a little headphone there?
Yeah. Well, this is the – it was already broken. I've got a piece that's been ordered to repair it, so it'll be fine. There it goes.
Did you have much NFL on yesterday?
Didn't watch much. I meant to. Just got away from me. I was trying to get 10 thoughts done, and then I was working on a recruiting thing, and it just got away. The day got away.
You're, 7:15 tonight. That game, by the way, did stay in New Orleans, did not move to Indianapolis. We had talked about it earlier in the week, and then I'm sure everybody knew by now, but nonetheless. Buffalo and Tennessee are going to play Tuesday night. That is a 6 o'clock start there in Nashville for that one. So just a little heads up there for a line on tonight's game. I had a second ago, but maybe I don't at the moment. Pretty critical game for the Saints, actually. They've got a stretch here that will determine kind of what's going on. They've got Panthers, Bears, Bucks in the next three after tonight. So that'll give a little more window into what's going on with the NFC South. You'd love to be in the NFC East right now because everybody just absolutely sucks over there. This might be the most egregious year we can remember in memory where they're going to send somebody to the postseason and play a wild card team that's going to be pretty dang good right now because I mean, the way they're playing, the Rams and the Seahawks are both very good out in the NFC West, and one of those two teams, probably the Rams, will be a wild card team that makes the playoffs. Seahawks moved to 5-0 yesterday, by the way.
Yeah, DK Metcalf might be the best receiver in the game right now.
We talk about it every week, perfect fit for the system, but just in any system, he's getting by people and running for touchdowns right now. Saints by 7 or 6.5, depending on your book tonight. That's where it comes out. So a little bit there. Tennessee is getting 3.5 at home against Buffalo on Tuesday. Looking ahead to next week, NFL is probably more of a Tuesday thing for us usually, but I will tell you what I see from a game standpoint that sticks out. Let's see. Actually, not a ton. Chicago's at Carolina. That's suddenly kind of an interesting game next week. Bears and Panthers. Green Bay at Tampa Bay. Rams at Fort. It's a fairly dud NFL weekend. There are very few major teams playing one another. Monday night is fun, though. You've got Kansas City at Buffalo for the Monday night game next week, so that's good. But otherwise, not much there. I am really interested in Braves-Dodgers tonight. It's not necessarily a Braves fandom thing. I think it's just a baseball thing. But it's the first time I've looked forward to a baseball game in a really long time for the pro level. But I'm looking forward to tonight. I've got the Saints on at the same time, so I'll be flipping and whatever. But I'm really interested in how the Braves do with the Dodgers in this series.
Yeah, I think it'll be a really good series. Two fun teams. I mean, the Dodgers are they're an excellent baseball team. They are just very, very good, and yet they have struggled to finish the deal in the postseasons to the point that you wonder if it gets in their head a little bit. And then the Braves are just this tremendously talented young team with weapons, and they hit it, and they're fun, and it could go either way. I expect a long series. A short series won by either team would really surprise me.
Meaning 6 or 7, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. I think the series goes 6-7 games. I think it goes 7. I think both teams are really good.
Baseball's in such a weird spot. They're trying to get this thing done. Credit to them for it. Looks like they're going to get this thing done. They're going to get a season in. Public, not really perception, but just marketability. Does it matter who's in the World Series? Are there two of these teams that make more sense from a – hey, you might draw some casual fans in because, frankly, baseball is just not drawing them in, period, no matter who's on the field.
I mean, I'm sure they're hoping for Astros and somebody.
For the drama of the Astros?
Well, they can have the villain.
Well, Dodgers-Astros again.
The Astros give you a villain, whether it's against the Dodgers, who were a victim of the villain, or if it's against the Braves, who are kind of a fun team.
They're kind of the girl next door.
The Braves can be a little Cinderella against the evil villain. And the Dodgers, I mean, the Dodgers-Astros is the easiest of those potential matchups to sell. I'm sure they think
Braves-Rays would be the most boring from a casual fan standpoint.
Yeah, I don't know how you'd sell that. Hey, here's this team that you've never heard of against another team from the Southeast that's pretty good, too. Watch that instead of the NFL today.
Yeah, Tampa's the best team you don't know a player on. And then, it's
I mean, it's, yeah. Trust us, you really want to watch this. They're good.
It's like the Major League thing when Jake Taylor's at dinner or whatever, and the guy's like, so you play baseball? He goes, yeah, we got uniforms and everything.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. Okay.
Who do you play for? Cleveland right here.
Yeah.
We got uniforms and
everything. No, Cleveland had a baseball team.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. 7:40 tomorrow night for Rays and Astros in game 3, by the way. Are they just playing? Okay.
Yeah, you play 5 days in a row.
Yeah, because you are, aren't you?
Yeah. There's no gaps.
Kind of weird.
Well, they moved it to the bubble for that reason.
Okay.
You have to understand the owners were like, hey, we did this. And the only reason we did it was to get the playoff money. We can't afford to have players having nights off.
So you're playing baseball.
And go off and get COVID, and then we have an outbreak.
Okay.
That's all this is.
Okay.
This is the owners going, we did our part. You got your salaries.
Play the games.
We got to have our money.
Yeah. Okay. All good. So again, Tampa Bay up 1-0 in that series as they're anyway, they're finishing up. Let's see. Jacquez Jones may be back this weekend. Kiffin was kind of uncertain on that. Didn't really give an answer either way. Although, since he doesn't really discuss injuries and whatnot, I don't know that he would have.
Momo said he will be back.
Okay. Yeah. So.
I'll write about defense a little later today. I just have not had an opportunity to transcribe quotes yet, but we'll get all that
there's
to you.
There's not. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of is what it is until they.
Yeah. I mean, there's not a lot there other than they've got to trust each other a little bit. Guys are trying to do too much, believe it or not.
Yeah.
And their confidence is shaken, which is very believable.
Yeah, I get that one. So, anyway, we will be back tomorrow with our show. Thank everybody for joining in the live stream over the weekend as well, from our pregame to our endgame to our postgame. I pointed out on Twitter last night, I pulled a clip of Pete DeWeese. He is so good during the second quarter of every game. So, even if you don't want to listen to us rattle on for 75% of it, it's worth checking in with Pete as he tells you what's going on schematically in every single game with us during the second quarter. So you can find that clip. It was about Snoop Connor's fourth down run yesterday and more. So head on over to rebelgrove.com, and we will talk to you again tomorrow.